Luke chapter 4. The message today is about Christ, temptations, and us. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness during 40 days being tempted of the devil. Verse 13. And when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now chapter 22, verse 28. Luke 22, 28. Our Savior is speaking. He says, But ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto your kingdom, even as my Father appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and ye shall sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Listen to these words. Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. Now, Hebrews 2, verse 17. Wherefore, it behooved him, our Lord, in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And the word succor means come to the help of, to assist, to aid. He is able to come to the help of them that are tempted. In chapter 4, verse 15, For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that some of us here, at least, have learned, as Jonah did, that salvation is of the Lord. We rejoice for the knowledge that it began with thee. You looked upon us in our sin, in our helplessness, and you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. And our Father, we who have already fled to Jesus for refuge, we are thankful that thou hast taught us also, our God, that having begun our faith, he is the finisher of our faith as well. Our God, so often we do not understand our lives as your children. We would wonder, our God, the way things occur and the way that our souls are oppressed and tempted. And we would wonder, our God, if we were the men and women that we should be, and if salvation is what thou dost tell us it is in thy word. So this day, from the scriptures themselves, the portions that we've read, and the portions that your Spirit shall bring to our remembrance, we pray that we shall understand about temptations, those of thy Son, and those that are of us. So help us to this end, our God. Thou dost know the things of the flesh. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and thou dost know the hearts of men. So many things, Father, not only satanic that can come and steal away the word from the heart, but natural infirmities as well. So our Father, overcome in all these areas, and empower the lips of thy servant, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Who would ever think that we would read in Scripture of the Son of God being tempted? And at the same time, who would ever think that when the Spirit of God has just bodily come upon the Son, the baptism, the anointing by the Spirit of the Son, who would think that at that time he would be tempted of the devil? But all of it is just as God has arranged, as God would have it, as all things are in the life of his Son. And just as he is filled with the Spirit, anointed with the Spirit, and then he goes for temptation, I think of that verse in Acts chapter 1. The Savior said to those that he had sent into the world as the Father sent him into the world, he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." The time to be tempted is not when you have grieved or quenched the Spirit, but the time to be tempted is when you are filled with the Spirit and empowered with the Spirit. The difference between us and the Savior is this. He was not one who experienced filling of the Spirit, you and I do, because our capacity lessens, but our Savior was constantly filled with the Spirit. And the Bible makes a distinction. It does not speak about they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but it speaks of certain ones as being a man full of the Holy Spirit. And that is the way that God would describe his Son, a man full of the Spirit, one anointed with the Holy Spirit of God and with power. That is the way God would describe his Son. And just as you and I of necessity must be empowered by the Spirit to serve the Lord, so our Savior himself, in the days of his flesh, must be empowered by the Spirit to overcome the temptations of the devil. Understand this, that our Savior, being God manifest in the flesh, could have destroyed this being whom his own hands created. But this was not God's way. It was to meet him head on as a man. And that is what he says to Satan. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Satan would have him to experience and to enjoy exemptions as the Son of God. The Lord Jesus places himself in our midst, as it says also in Hebrews chapter 2. "Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren." Praise God for that. Satan says, you are not like others. You should be exempt from the temptations of life. But the Lord Jesus, it behooved him to be made in all things like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. So he is not as so many who have no experience in their occupation. But the Lord Jesus trained 30 years before he publicly faced Israel as the one sent from God, and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and then immediately the test takes place. This is the will of God. It is not the will of God that we confront Satan unless we are filled with the Spirit. If we face him that way, defeat is certain. But if filled with the Spirit, we are confronted by Satan, and in the power of the Spirit, engage in conflict with him, then the outcome for us will be the same as the outcome of the Son of God. So understand, it is not that the Savior rashly goes and challenges Satan, but it says he was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he is there 40 days and 40 nights. and he is in a weakened condition. And yet, he is empowered by the fullness of the Spirit. And in this weakened condition, Satan approaches him for temptation. This is the way the Savior would be made a merciful and faithful high priest. And it's the will of God. He wants to go through all the experiences that you and I go through, so that when we flee to him for mercy and grace to help in time of need, there is a sympathetic high priest at God's right hand who can come to our assistance. This is what God would have us to understand. And at the same time, when our Savior is tempted, do not think the way that men think of temptation, that the Father is sending his Son to expose the sin that is in him. The temptation has a twofold purpose. There is a satanic purpose, and there is a divine purpose. And Satan's purpose is one thing, and God's purpose is another. And it is plainly brought out in Job 1 and 2. God delights whenever he can find someone about whom he can speak words of admiration. And in this case, when Satan presented himself to God, God said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, one that feareth God and worketh righteousness, one that escheweth evil?" And Satan said, "Yes, I've noticed it. And I know just why he does it, too. You've put a hedge around everything he has. You've blessed every work of his hand, all his substance. That is the reason that Job behaves as he does. Take away all your blessings. Remove the hedge. Put your hand upon his substance, and he will curse you to your face." That is the purpose of satanic temptation, to show that man is not what God says he is, to show that man will fail and sin. When God says something concerning even a man like Job, God knows whereof he speaks. And after the temptation, in brief, let me tell you this. When Satan came back, having destroyed all the substance of Job, having broken his heart, having taken away everything that he possessed, when Satan had done that, it says Job still maintained his integrity. And when Satan came into the presence of God again, God said, "You see, you see." And Satan is not satisfied still. He said, "Yes, you've taken away everything that he has." He said, "But skin to skin, touch his skin, and he will curse you to your face." And God says, "Tempt him that way." Now, you understand? The temptation of Job, yes. Satanic is to prove that Job will curse God, renounce him, that there are ulterior motives that makes Job devoted, God-fearing, reverent. And God says, "Put him to the test, and I will show you that he is because of an inherent manifestation of gratitude for what I've done. And not only that, but if you take away everything I've given him, he will still serve me. He will still be devoted to me." And listen to the words of Job. When he was tested, Satan was proved a liar, and what God said proved true. And when all his possessions were taken away, Job said, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Think of the heart of God when those words came from Job's lips. Satan has said, "He will curse you to your face." And he took away everything he had. And Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." So, the satanic reason of temptation, to induce sin, to embarrass God, the divine purpose of temptation is to show the integrity, the rectitude, the steadfastness of Job. And now you say, "Why, of course." And when the Lord Jesus comes upon the scene, the same twofold purpose is manifested. Why is Satan tempting our Savior? To expose him as he would expose Job. And why does the Father allow his Son to be tempted put to the test to show Satan and the world that he is everything that God spoke of him prophetically in the Old Testament and everything we read of him in the New Testament. That is why. And as in the case, in a small way, of Job, Job passed the test. So, in a way of perfection, the Lord Jesus Christ passed this test when Satan tempted him. For 40 days, he was tempted of Satan. And it said, when the devil had exhausted every temptation, he left him for a season. You understand? With all the wiles of the devil, with all of his stratagems, he did everything in his power to show that Jesus was an ordinary man, that there was sin in him, that he knew sin, that he would do sin. And when the temptation was over, it was not a head that was defeated and crushed, not someone smiting upon his breast saying, "Oh God, I have sinned." But it was the Lord Jesus victorious saying, "Get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." This is the temptation of our Savior. And that is why the Father wanted him tempted, put to the test. Why? Not to see if he could sin, but to demonstrate to the world that he would not sin, that he loved the Father, that his whole being was taken up with loving God, his Father. The Lord Jesus said, just before he went to the cross, he said that the world may know that I love the Father. He wants the world to know that he loves the Father. And here is Satan doing all in his power to show that no one loves the Father except for ulterior motives and except for material gain. Yes, in one sense it's true. I love God because he first loved me. And just as that leper was healed and blessed of God, and he saw that he was healed, and he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and with a loud voice he glorified God, giving him thanks. Yes, that is what started it all. But I hope that by God's grace, and God never put me to this test, I am not Job, but if he takes away all the help and all the possessions that he has given, may you and I have it said of us as it was said of Job. Still, Job did not sin with his lips. Job maintained his integrity, having understood of God, having been given the free gift of God, which is eternal life, his so great salvation. Let this be enough, whatever may come. Let us be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "I know how to abound. I know how to suffer want. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content." And let us not have Satan to embarrass God in this respect. So, this was a choice saint of yours, I see. But this happened, and that happened. And did you notice that he renounced you to your face? That he murmured? That he complained? That delights the heart of Satan. And when we hold fast our integrity, and when we bless God and sin not with our lips, it blesses the heart of God. And so, that is why I hasten to tell you about Christ's temptation and us. Why? Because in Luke 22, these are the words of the Savior. He says, "You are they who have continued with me in my temptation." The Savior said that. In John 17, he prayed wonderful things about the disciples. And there was a gracious expression concerning them. If it were absolute, I could say, "But Lord, look, they wanted to curse. They wanted to be the highest in the kingdom. I could show all these things, Lord." But the Savior said, "I have given them thy word. They have kept thy word." For our Savior ever speaks graciously of us. And this is what he says, and indeed, it's one of the most gracious things that he has said. In Luke 22, he says, "You are they who have continued with me in my temptation." Now, can he say that of you? Since you have been saved, have you gone through life not receiving all the blessings of God, not being protected by God? Those things are true. Those are the things we emphasize. But can the Lord Jesus say of you, "You have gone through life with me, and you have continued with me in my temptations"? So when the Savior was tempted, he tells us that his disciples are there, and it's meaningful to him. I would think this. Jesus doesn't need you. What comfort can you be to Jesus? But let me ask you this. When the Savior was in the garden of Gethsemane, did he go alone? You say, no. He took Peter, James, and John. Yes. And what did he say to them? He said, watch with me. Here was a temptation of our Savior, and he wants companionship in that temptation, and he says to them, watch with me. And when they failed, the Lord Jesus said, why could you not watch with me 1 hour? But understand that all through his life, our Savior had been subjected to temptation. That is why I read to you in the temptation that began in Luke 4, and having ended that temptation, it says, the devil left him, but it says for a season. And then that's why I read to you in Luke chapter 22, when the Savior at the end of his life did not say, you stuck by me after my temptation by Satan in the wilderness. But he said, you are they that have continued with me. You have maintained fellowship with me all through life. You have companions with me in my temptation. And so the Savior says, my whole life has been one of temptation. And for that reason, you must look at the temptations that come into our Savior's life, and you must understand that the exception is Luke chapter 4. The rule is the temptations or the temptations I'm going to tell you about that are mentioned elsewhere. But you've never been tempted by Satan. When has Satan ever come and personally spoken to you, manifested himself, challenged you? You're not that important, and neither am I. But I've been tempted abundance by Satan, instrumentally. And this is the way he worked later on. What do you think happened at that Last Supper? It says, the devil, having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, the devil put in Judas' heart. And it says that after Christ had given Judas the sop, it said, then Satan entered into him, and he went out. And the Savior said, what thou doest, do quickly. And so it is still Satan. Understand, it does not matter if Satan is face to face with the Savior in the wilderness, speaking the temptation, or if through Judas Iscariot, Satan is tempting our Savior. It is still the same. It is not the Father tempting to show, wondering if his Son is going to sin as Adam sinned, as all men have sinned. He is allowing his Son to be tempted to show that he will not sin, that he was obedient unto death, the death of the cross. This is what the Father wants to demonstrate to Satan, and he wants to demonstrate to the world that his Son is the one who has so devoted his heart to the Father, who so loves his Father, who has so renounced his will to the Father's will, that he cannot sin. This is what God wants us to know. And Satan would give everything he had if he could cause Jesus Christ to commit one sin. That's the first thing that he tried. As soon as the public manifestation of the Lord Jesus is made, Satan wants to destroy it all. And the remarkable thing about the temptations of Satan is this. Two of them do not seem to be temptations at all. Let me ask you. If God has empowered you to perform a miracle, and after 40 days you've had nothing to eat, and you're at the point of starvation, does it seem as if there would be anything wrong to turn a stone into a loaf of bread? You say no. But it would have been sin, and Satan knew it, and the Lord Jesus knew it, and therefore the Lord Jesus refused to do it. And let me ask you this. If the Father had empowered you to perform miracles, would there have been anything wrong to display your miracle-working ability to the eyes of all that would be in the temple? It seems as if that would be no sin at all. But to the Lord Jesus, he knew it would be sin. But the one thing that I understand that would be sin is this. When Satan shows our Savior all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them in a moment of time, And he says, they are yours if you will worship me. Worship me, and they are yours. And Satan would give everything in his power to the Savior. If he could cause the Lord Jesus to worship him, just humble himself in his presence, he said, I'll give you everything, everything that man wants. It's yours if you will do this one thing. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. And that is the only one that seems like sin. But that is because there are the wiles of the devil. You and I would say, why, of course, it's about time that I had something to eat. And we would turn a stone into bread. And we would display all of this power that God has imparted to us. But the Lord Jesus never performed a miracle like the feeding of the 5,000 if there were bread at hand. If God would let us use the normal circumstances of life to make provision for the things that the body needs. The Lord Jesus knew that. He did not go around performing a miracle. I'm thinking of this. Why, in the case of our Savior rising in the morning and being hungry and wanting some figs on that fig tree, why did he not perform a miracle as in the case of Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed and brought forth fruit? Why, since there was no food there, did he not just miraculously speak to that fig tree and fruit would burst out all over it? Because it would have been a sin against God. The Lord Jesus knew when to perform a miracle and when not to perform a miracle. And the Lord Jesus also knew this, that whatever is legitimately yours is not to be possessed from a sinful, wicked, diabolical source like Satan. Do you understand that I'm going to judge angels, that the world is mine, that I'm going to reign with Christ in the coming day? But Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, already you are rich. You have come to reign without us. You reign when God wants you to reign. You become rich when God wants you to become rich. But Satan will give you the shortcut, and we say, well, it's ours anyway. Why not let's take the shortcut and possess it now without the trouble of going to the cross? Because that's the wiles of the devil. And God never wants us to embrace that which is legitimately ours by the temptation of Satan. We wait God's time. We receive what God gives in God's way. To get it any sooner, to get it in any different manner, is a sin. And the Lord Jesus knows it. And that's why he dismisses Satan. So here is our Savior. And let me show you some instances where God tells us about his temptations. Because he understands that life has been nothing for him but a temptation. Beginning with his public manifestation, then immediately he is tempted by the devil after his baptism. And then it says the devil left him for a season. But immediately, through instruments, the Lord Jesus is tempted. And this is one. I shall tell you some. In Matthew 16, just as Satan said, show a miracle, cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. So, the enemies of Christ come to him and say, show us a sign, perform a miracle for us. And the Lord Jesus said, a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a miracle, a sign, and there shall no sign be given it. Now, I confess that at times, what God has enabled me to do, I do it, and at times, for just the pleasure of letting you know that I can do it. The other day, I was visiting a man that was very sick, and he was saying, do you know that I can tell you all the books of the Bible in 28 seconds? I said, can you? He said, yes. Did you want to hear me? I said, yes. And so he gave me all the books of the Bible, and I should have congratulated him and left it there. I said, do you know that I can tell you all the kings of the southern kingdom in less than 28 seconds? He said, you can. I said, of course. He said, let me hear you. And so I told Rehoboam of Ijam Asa. Do you understand? And that was just nothing but counteracting his knowing the scriptures. You know the Bible? You can do it in 28 seconds? I can tell you that. And then, alas, I displayed ability again. I said, and I can tell you also all the judges of Israel as well. He said, can you? I said, yes. I said, do you want to hear them? Do you understand? Now, here is a power that God has given. And if I do it to you now, to encourage you and challenge you, to edify you, that's good. But if you say, Show us your intelligence. Show us how bright you are. Display yourself, your glory, before all the Christians. And I'm willing to do that. Then I'm jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. You see, I told you I could do it. Look how much power I have from God. A sign? Why, of course I can do this. And at times, understand that the most difficult thing is not to perform a miracle, not to display your ability, but to restrain your ability. That is obedience to the will of God. When our Savior was on the cross, they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe thee. The sad thing, if salvation was going to be set aside, the Lord Jesus could have come down from the cross. The Lord Jesus could have asked his Father, and he would have sent him more than 12 legions of angels. He could have done all of those things. But at the very first, cast yourself from the pinnacle of the temple. Show us a sign. And the Lord Jesus said, I understand about this. When it was necessary to feed 5,000, yes, a sign. When a man that was born blind, yes, a sign. When Lazarus needed to be raised from the dead, yes, a sign. But they were God's signs, God's time, for God's purposes. And the Lord Jesus knew that. And so for that reason, when Satan would have men say, show us a sign, the Savior would say, absolutely not. A sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But if men need signs to be saved, this is what it says in John's Gospel. Many other signs, miracles did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And that's why Christ performed miracles, that you might have life in his name, that you might know who he is. But if the Lord Jesus has performed abundance of miracles, and you say, oh, I need one more miracle will convince me who you are, the Lord Jesus says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. This, the challenge to manifest the miraculous power that he had imparted to him by the Spirit. It says he was led in the Spirit, and it says, if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Yes, he had that power, but he would display it when his Father wanted him to. And one other thing, the temptation was this. They came to him and asked him hard questions about marriage, about adultery, about giving tribute to Caesar, as to which is the first and great commandment. And in all of these things, it says, they came tempting him. And the Lord Jesus said, you hypocrites, why do you tempt me? The Lord Jesus knew when there were questions that needed to be answered, such as those of Nicodemus. And he knew also when men came and asked him questions for ulterior motives. And that is why if there are any seeking salvation, the Lord Jesus will answer your questions. But if you are trying to embarrass him, and if it is an hypocritical question, the Lord Jesus will call you a sinful and adulterous one, seeking after some fleshy means of identification. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's tempted Son. And that's all I can tell you, because time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, thankful that there has never been a man upon earth like thy Son. Our Father, we are thankful for the embarrassment, for the consternation of this wicked one who came and tempted him. And unlike Adam, that first man, this last man, abode steadfast in his devotion to you. We are thankful that he's manifested to the world that he loves you more than life itself, and that he loves you unto death, but obedient unto death. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, having procured salvation through this obedience unto death, yea, the death of the cross, may we here call upon the name of the Lord and receive the benefit of his crucifixion, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.